بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading from this kitab, إصلاح العقائد, correction of beliefs, and we are reading concerning our beliefs of Qiyamah. Yesterday we read concerning the minor signs which will occur before Qiyamah. Today we read concerning the major signs. Those signs which will commence with the coming of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu and will end with the blowing of the sur, that is the trumpet. So all major signs, they will commence from the time of Hazrat Mahdi coming and it will continue till the actual blowing of the trumpet. Amongst the major signs is the number one, the advent of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. Mahdi in Arabic means rightly guided. Many such Mahdis, in other words, rightly guided people have come and will continue to come. But the Mahdi who is mentioned in the Ahadith will make his appearance very close to Qiyamah as foretold by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be from the progeny of Fatima radiallahu anha through her son Hassan radiallahu anhu. His name will be Muhammad and his father's name will be Abdullah. He will resemble Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in character. He will be tall, have a bright and broad forehead, and he will have a long and high bridged nose. He will be born in Madinatul Munawwara and reside therein. He will emerge at the age of 40 in Makkah. A group of awliya called Abdal will recognize him whilst he will be making tawaf, and they will pledge allegiance to him. A number of battles will be fought with the disbelievers under his rulership. He will eventually be victorious. During his reign, Islam will flourish. He will remove the treasures buried under the Kaaba and distribute them amongst the Muslims. He will first rule over the Arabs, and then the entire world will be under his rule. He will restore peace and justice to the entire world. All his actions will be in accordance to the Sharia of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During his lifetime, Dajjal will also appear and Isa alayhi salam will also descend from the heavens and perform his first salat behind Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu. The second major sign of Qiyamah is the appearance of Dajjal. The word Dajjal is derived from the Arabic word Dajjal, which means to deceive, to dupe, to cheat, etc. Hence, Dajjal means imposter, swindler, cheater, and liar. Many such Dajjals have appeared. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There will be 30 liars in my ummah. Each one will claim to be Nabi, whereas I am the seal of Nabuwat." The Dajjal mentioned in the Ahadith that will appear during the time of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be from a Jewish tribe. He will be known as Masih. He will be one-eyed. His hair will be curly. On his forehead will be inscribed the letters Kaf, Fa and Ra, which stand for Kufr, which the true believers will be able to read. This is the stamp of Kufr which appears on his forehead. He will go to Isfahan, which occurs in Iran, where 70,000 Jews will become his followers. Here he will lay claim to divinity and spread dissension and corruption on the earth. 2 years before his appearance, there will be a severe drought. To test the believers, Allah will allow him to demonstrate many supernatural feats. He will move around with a large army and pillage and plunder many lands. He will then attempt to gain entry into Makkah and Medina. The angels will protect Makkah. Hence, he will not be able to enter Makkah. He will then proceed to Medina and halt on the outskirts of Medina before Mount Uhud. Medina during that time will have 7 gates. 2 angels will be standing guard over each of these gates and Dajjal will be unable to enter Medina as well. He will then travel towards Damascus, where Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be living. Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will prepare a Muslim army to fight Dajjal. While preparing for battle against Dajjal, Isa alayhi salam, resting his hands on the shoulders of two angels, will descend from the heavens. He will alight on the eastern minara of the Jami Masjid of Damascus. So this was the second major sign of Qiyamah, that is the appearance of Dajjal. We will continue with the other major signs. Last night in the Taraweeh, Alhamdulillah, the 14th para was recited, and the 14th comprises of two surahs, that is Suratul Hijr and then Suratul Nahl. The first surah, Suratul Hijr. Hijr is actually the name of a valley in which the nation of Thamud resided, who was a nation to whom Salih alayhi salatu wasalam had been sent as a Nabi. Normally throughout the Quran and Majid they are just known as the nation of Thamud, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a verse in the surah mentions them as Ashabul Hijr. That is why the surah has been called Suratul Hijr. Being a Makki surah, and as mentioned previously, in all the Makki surahs, the general subject matter relates to the fundamentals of deen, that is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All arguments of the mushrikeen concerning shirk is also refuted, and also risalat, and also mention is made of Qiyamah, together with mention of many of the nations of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah with the hurufi muqatta'at, alif lam ra. The meaning of it is known only to Allah ta'ala. And then, as mentioned, after hurufi muqatta'at, Allah ta'ala mentions the grandeur and the greatness of the Quran Majid. Some quality of the Quran Majid is mentioned. Here too, Allah ta'ala says, tilka ayatul kitabi wa Qur'anin mubeen. These are the verses of the kitab and the clear Quran Majid. Quran Majid has been now mentioned as Quran in Mubin, because the message of the Quran Majid and the injunctions of whatever Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Majid are very clear to be understood without any ambiguity, together with all the narratives and stories mentioned in the Quran Majid are also clear in their truthfulness. They are completely true without any element of doubt. Further on, Allah Ta'ala, then in the first ayat of the 14th para, Allah Ta'ala says, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. That many a time on the day of Qiyamah, these kuffar, those who rejected and denied the message of Haqq, they will desire and wish that if only they were Muslims, they had accepted Islam. But the akhirat is the time for retribution. It's now any person desiring iman or even accepting iman at that time will be of no avail and benefit. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereafter is told, who was definitely distressed that these people are not accepting the message of Haqq, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. That leave them, let them continue eating and enjoying, and let their long hopes and desires keep them in negligence, because very soon they will come to know the consequences of their kufr and their denial. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning these people who refuse to accept the message and nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they try to ridicule and mock at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning them that they say that, O person to whom the reminder has been revealed, referring to the Quran Majid, إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ, that you are majnoon, that you are insane. Sometimes they call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam majnoon, sometimes they call him a bewitched and a person who has been affected by jadu. Sometimes they call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sha'ir, a poet. Here they say that you are majnoon, that you are insane. So why don't you bring to us those angels who, if you are truthful in your claim that you are a true Nabi, from whom you can verify that you are indeed a Nabi sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala warns them, مَا نُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, that you're demanding to see this miracle that angels must accompany Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from whom you can verify whether he's a true Nabi or not. These types of demands, don't make them, because if we only send the angels, but what's the truth? Was the decision to punish nations? And in that case, when they are, if that miracle is shown to them, to you, and you don't accept, then it is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala then completely destroys such a nation. And Allah says, وَمَا كَانُوا إِذَا مُنْظَرِينَ, and then they will not be given respite. But in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to remain till the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, Allah ta'ala says, don't make such demands. There are ample proofs proving the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them, the greatest miracle is in your midst, in the form of the Quran Majid. Therefore, don't make demands to see specific miracles. The Quran Majid is sufficient miracle to prove the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Concerning the Quran Majid, Allah ta'ala then says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun, that we have revealed the reminder, the Quran Majid, and we are its protectors. Unlike the nations of the past, their scriptures, Allah Ta'ala did not take the responsibility of the protection of the previous scriptures and left it to the people and the nations themselves, who then distorted and altered their scriptures according to their whims and fancies. But unlike that, Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Majid, the responsibility of its protection, Allah Ta'ala had taken upon himself, that no types of additions, omissions, alterations, distortions will occur, because Allah Ta'ala has taken this responsibility of protecting the Quran Majid. The ulama explain that the protection of the Quran Majid refers to the protection of the words of the Quran Majid also, and also the accepted meanings of the Quran Majid, which we call the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The commentary of the Quran Majid, Allah Ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran Majid mentions, Inna thumma inna alayna bayana. Then it is our responsibility to make bayan of this Quran Majid, to explain the meaning of the Quran Majid, and this was done through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who explained the meanings of the Quran Majid. So Allah Ta'ala says it is upon us to do that. So the accepted meanings of the Quran Majid, as narrated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also included in the context of this ayat, where Allah Ta'ala says, we will protect the Quran Majid. Any person or group who tries to distort or change or alter any portion of the Quran Majid or its accepted meanings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create such a group from among the ummah at all times, who will rectify that alteration and evil, which is made in the form of the ulama-i kiram, in the form of the huffaz, in the qurra, in the mashayikh, who will not tolerate any type of distortion and alteration of anything of the Qur'an Majid. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in the second ruku onwards, Allah ta'ala makes mention of many of his great creations, and inviting man to ponder over these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will prove the existence, the oneness, the qudrat, and the knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala speaks of the creation of the heavens, speaks of the creation of the earth, which Allah ta'ala says we have spread out. Then under this earth, Allah ta'ala says we have placed mountains, and to peg this earth from any type of instability and provide stability to the earth. We all know the earth is spinning at mind-boggling speed on its own axis. And if it was not pegged and with these mountains, then we would not have been able to sit as we are sitting presently in the masjid here. It would have been impossible. So the creation of the mountains is actually to create, to maintain stability on the movement of the earth, so that people on the earth can reside on it without any problem. Further on, Allah Ta'ala also mentions these other great qudrat in various of his types of his creations. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the unique system of water supply. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاكِحَ, that we have sent the winds to fill the clouds with water, and then we send down the rain from the skies to provide you with water to drink. And you, O man, O insan, you are not in a position to store this water. So first of all, the unique system of water supply is explained here, that through the winds and the process of evaporation from the waters of the oceans and the seas, Allah Ta'ala lifts that water in the way of evaporation, then condensation takes place, clouds are formed, and Allah Ta'ala fills these clouds with water, and then Allah Ta'ala makes them move vast distances to inland to provide water for all people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that rain fall to fall. So that is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also the process of desalination, where the salty water of the oceans is turned into sweet water and rain falls down in the form of sweet water, which is palatable and we are able to drink. Further, Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot store this water. So large quantities of water. Water is life. Water is required on a daily basis. Allah Ta'ala could have sent down rain daily to provide for daily needs of man, but this would have created endless problems for man physically and economically also. So Allah Ta'ala provided the system to store that water, that when and where and in whichever way man needs that water, he can then start using that water. Allah Ta'ala stores the water on land in the form of dams, in the form of lakes, in the form of rivers and streams. Allah Ta'ala stores this water underground in the form of reservoirs, in the form of wells and springs. And Allah Ta'ala also stores this water on mountain peaks by freezing that water, and then according to the needs of man, slowly that it melts and takes the form of streams and rivers and flows large distances to provide water for people around the world. And through that, human life, and not only human life, life for all creatures on this earth is then sustained. Allah Ta'ala, if we really have to ponder over the system, we will recognize the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and His wisdom. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned many times throughout the Quran and Majeed. These instances which are narrated throughout the Quran and Majeed, together with the incidents of the nations of the past, one particular speciality and peculiarity of the Quran and Majeed is that these incidents are repeated, but in such a way which keeps the reader captivated. It is not repeated in a way where the exact words are just repeated, which will normally tire a person to read the same thing, same words over and over. The same incidents are mentioned over and over, but in such a way where the new words are used, new sentences are used, and new things are mentioned from which we can take lessons from, and which we can understand many things differently as they are mentioned on different places in the Quran and Majeed. Similar to that is this incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and which was actually one of the greatest manifestations of the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that lifeless earth, Allah ta'ala made it into a human being who can walk, who can talk, who can run, who can understand, who can think, and given him such abilities to use the elements of this, which Allah Ta'ala has provided in this universe, to see to his needs and make things with his hands, using the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. So Allah Ta'ala then mentions, orders the angels to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam, and then the subsequent refusal of Iblis, who although not an angel, who was from the jinn, he refuses, but the order was also to him. He refused to bow down because of his pride and arrogance, and with the result he became rejected. The whole incident is mentioned here. Description of Jannat and Jahannam is also mentioned here. And then the incidents of some of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the nations are mentioned here. Particularly the nation of Lut alayhi salam, how they rejected the message and refused to mend their ways and their immoral ways, and then they were destroyed. Before that, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the angels who came in human form
refers to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, thinking then to be a guest, he provided meals, prepared meals for them. But as angels, they did not partake of that. And Ibrahim alayhi salam became apprehensive and fearful that it seems now that why are they not eating the food which I have provided? They told Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have come for two purposes. One is to give you the glad tidings of the birth of a son. Ishaq alayhi salam, despite Ibrahim alayhi salam's advanced age and his wife's also advanced age. Normally they cannot father and bear children at that time, but they were given the glad tidings and Ishaq alayhi salam was born. And the other reason they told Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have been sent to destroy the nation of Lut alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala destroyed them by lifting that whole town in which they were residing and turning it upside down, and they were flung back onto the earth, and pebbles and stones were then rained down upon them and they were completely destroyed. Then mention is made of Ashabul Hijr, the nation of Thamud, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention again of the Quran Majid that we have granted you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seven often repeated verses referring to Suratul Fatiha, which is recited in every salat, in every rakat. So we have granted you that, and the glorious Quran Majid also we have granted you. Many mufassirin say, well, Quran Al-Azim refers again to Suratul Fatiha. And it has been called Al-Quran Al-Azim because the entire subject matter of the Quran Majid is condensed into Suratul Fatiha, which is actually a summary of the entire contents of Suratul Fatiha. So Allah Ta'ala says, we have granted you such a great surah in the Quran Majid, which is Suratul Fatiha, and the Quran Majid itself is such a great bounty that if you have been granted this bounty, that O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and all the whole Ummah is also being addressed, then don't raise your eyes to that things which we have given as enjoyment to different groups of the people on the earth. In other words, any other type of bounty in the form of material wealth or anything else, don't raise your eyes to that. That will now actually mean that you are showing ingratitude to the greatest of bounties which Allah Ta'ala has granted you in the form of the Quran Majid. And O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't grieve over these people who are refusing to accept your message of Haqq. وَخْفِرْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and lower your wings for the mu'mineen. In other words, be kind and gentle and focus your attention towards the mu'mineen who have now accepted the message of Haqq, and pay attention to them and be kind and compassionate to them. Further on, the next towards the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says that وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, and continue worshipping your Rabb till the certainty comes to you, which means death. All the mufassirin explain that the yaqeen here means death, which means at no time can a person say that I have reached such a high level of spiritual status that now many of the obligatory forms of worship are no more applicable to me. As some ignorant people, they claim that they don't have to now follow many of the injunctions of Sharia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, who was the most superior of mankind, that continue worshipping your Rabb till death comes to you. The next surah is Surah An-Nahl. Nahl means bee. The mention of the bee is mention is made of the bee in the surah, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the small creation of His, and what type of intelligence and system of management Allah Ta'ala had granted the bee. It is something which is mind-boggling how the bees, they make their hive and produce the honey, and the whole system which they function on, similar to human beings, system of government and leadership, all those things Allah Ta'ala inspired the bee with. So mention is made of that in the surah. That's why the surah has been called Suratul Nahl. Another name of the surah, the ulama explained, is Suratul Ni'am. Ni'am is the plural of ni'mah, which means bounty, and many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala has blessed man with, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of them in the surah. That's why the surah is also called Suratul Nahl. The first verse of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, that the order of Allah Ta'ala has come, therefore don't seek it to come quicker, and don't request it to come sooner. Referring to what the mushrikeen told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you claim to be a true Nabi and you are warning us that if we don't accept the message of your message, then the punishment of Allah Ta'ala will overtake you. Where is that punishment? We want to see it. Bring it on. We want to see it. Allah Ta'ala says, don't make such requests. Because when the punishment of Allah Ta'ala will come, then it will completely destroy you. Further on, then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of all His great creations, year to the heavens and the earth, in the earth. Insan also has been created from a drop of fluid. But Allah Ta'ala says, his humble beginnings, he doesn't realize that. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. He becomes an open adversary and he starts disputing concerning the matters of haqq, referring to the Qur'an Majeed also to life after death. This is now what insan comes. He forgets what humble beginnings he had. Allah Ta'ala then make mention of the animals which Allah Ta'ala had now created. And from these animals, what benefits human beings take from them, there is warmth for you. We use the hides and the skins of these animals to make clothing. And many other benefits where they are used for riding purposes. They are used to now carry our goods from place to place. And وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And amongst them, some of those animals, you even have been permitted to eat from there. And in these animals, for you, there is beauty also. When you take them out in the morning to graze and bring them back to the stables towards the evening, it is the source of great beauty for the owners of these animals. Allah Ta'ala says, we created the horses and also the mules and the donkeys, which you ride also, and also a means of beauty for you. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And we also create that which you as yet are not aware of, which you don't have knowledge of. The ulama explain all modern forms of transport which were not imaginable in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the form of aeroplanes, in the form of trains, motor cars, in whatever form of transport, are all indicated to in this ayat, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That these are just a few examples, that these are riding animals which you ride, but modes of transport which are still to be made till the day of Qiyamah, which even now today we might not be able to imagine, is all indicated to in this ayat. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the creations which we have created for you, the night, the day, the sun, the moon, the stars, etc. We have made them all subservient to you. And in other words, we have created all these great creations of ours to serve you, O man. And your objective is now to fulfill your objective of life, to recognize and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the oceans, Allah Ta'ala says, سَخَّرَ الْبَحْرَ. We have made it subservient to you. You eat from there the fresh meat in the form of the fish. And you even take out pearls, which you wear as jewelry. And look at the ships which sail on the surface of the water, from where you can recognize the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many other ni'mats are mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala then says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. And if you try to count and enumerate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. And why? Because there are so many. At every given juncture, millions and millions of bounties we have been blessed with. Even as we are sitting here, what bounties of Allah Ta'ala are upon us? Most of them we don't even realize. But there are many bounties of Allah Ta'ala with which we are blessed with. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the mushrikeen in all their illogical claims concerning Allah Ta'ala having partners, etc., and how Allah Ta'ala refutes that. And the answers also to that are mentioned here. If you have to ask them who created the skies and the earth, deep down they know, and they will never take the name of any of their deities, and they will acknowledge that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created. Allah Ta'ala says that how is it that when it comes to worshipping, then you ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, then Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of the verse that if Allah Ta'ala has to seize you because of your wrongdoings, then no living thing on the surface of the earth will remain. In other words, everybody will be enveloped and seized by the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when the punishment of Allah ta'ala comes, then even the innocent and those who are righteous are also afflicted with the punishment. So Allah ta'ala says that if we have to do that, everybody will then be destroyed. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then says that in your livestock also there are many lessons for you to understand the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that we give you pure milk to drink, which comes from the bellies of these animals between the excreta and blood. We provide this pure milk for you, which you drink with great relish, and which is so pleasant to drink. So the milk which comes out from the animal, Allah Ta'ala said, in that also there are great lessons for you, referring to the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. That milk actually comes out from all the filth in the bellies of these animals, but you don't find any traces of any of that filth in that milk which come out, any traces of excreta or blood that the milk is contaminated with that. No, you will not see that. So recognize the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala from there. And then concerning the bee, Allah Ta'ala uses the word awha, which is normally used to send down revelation. Here Allah Ta'ala uses the same word, although there's no meaning of revelation being sent to the bee, but here it shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely inspired the bees to do that which for the purpose which they have been created, where to build their hives and how to collect the nectar, and then the system of operating that hive are all indicated to in these verses. And the honey which they produce, Allah Ta'ala says they come in various colors, and also there is a cure for man in there. The healing benefits and the benefits in honey are acknowledged by all medical practitioners, and it is an accepted fact that honey has got healing as well as great nourishing properties in there. Allah Ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran Majeed also. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ, that Allah Ta'ala has given some of you superiority over others with regard to sustenance. That Allah Ta'ala didn't create everybody equal when it comes to his economic condition. Allah Ta'ala, through his wisdom, has given some more and has given others less. This is not accidental. It is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reason for this is for the continued functioning of the whole system of this world. There is a need for that condition of interdependence, what we can call. If everybody was wealthy, who's going to build our houses? Who's going to do the bricklaying? Who's going to do the gardening? Who's going to do the plumbing? Everybody will say, no, I will employ somebody else. But to keep each one dependent on one another, and through which our continued existence can remain in a sustained form, Allah Ta'ala has kept this differences and varying degrees with regard to sustenance. And not only wealth, but also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept differences amongst men with regard to their intelligence and their abilities, etc., so that this whole concept of interdependence can remain and human life can remain sustained, or else the whole world will not be able to function as it is functioning. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again makes mention of these mushrikeen and their wrong beliefs, and answers to that are also given again. And then towards the end of the para, last quarter, Allah ta'ala makes mention of a verse which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions is the most comprehensive verse in the entire Quran Majeed, because the entire teachings of Shariat have been, so to say, condensed in this verse, which we hear in every khutbah, in the second khutbah of Jummah, in all other khutbahs, we hear this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Three things have been mentioned here, and then three prohibitions after that have been mentioned, in which the entire teachings of deen have been condensed. Allah Ta'ala orders concerning justice, and another meaning of adl also means moderation, without any type of excess in any of the actions. And the second thing, well, ihsan, that to do good, and also to do good to others, and also to do an action being conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watchful, which we call the rank and the sifat of ihsan, as mentioned in the ahadith, that أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as if Allah ta'ala is watching you. And if you can't come to that level, then at least know that that you are seeing Allah ta'ala. And if you can't come to that level, then at least have this realization that Allah ta'ala is watching you. And the third thing is that give to the relatives. Charity, although it is for a general, but particularly those who are now in need, who are from your relatives, pay particular attention to them and give them. And refrain from all types of immoral actions and immodesty and all things which have been now described as unlawful by the Sharia, al-munkar and wal-baghi and transgression. All types of injustices and excesses, all you have been prohibited from there. So from the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, it has become the norm that this ayat is recited during the khutbah. And up till today we hear that this ayat is recited to inform us of the great teachings of deen. Towards the end of the para, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, who was firm on the concept of Tawheed despite great opposition of the people of his time. Allah ta'ala describes him to be Kana Ummah. One man, Allah ta'ala calls him Ummah, as if that one person was a whole community in himself. And the qualities which are found scattered amongst normally the people of a community was all found in a single person, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. He was completely obedient to Allah ta'ala and he was hanif. He was now not in the slightest bit inclined to any wrong, and he was only inclined to the path of haqq. Allah ta'ala says, tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that وَاتَّبِعْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Follow the millet and way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was hanif, he was not mushrik, from the mushrikeen. And then Allah ta'ala makes mention of a verse in which great lessons are given for those who are engaged in the work of da'wah and tabligh, and calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call with wisdom and good counsel. And if you have to argue any point with them, do it in a good way, not to distance them away further from deen. Do it in that way, and you will see the result of your calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how they will respond. At the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala makes mention to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whatever trials and tribulations you are being faced with, that people are taunting, jeering, mocking at you and not accepting your message, be patient. And وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And your exercising patience is only with Allah ta'ala, with his help. And do not grieve over these people, and do not be constrained with what they are doing. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is with those who adopt the quality of taqwa and those who do good. And Allah ta'ala's help and assistance will be with you.
عن أبي رزين رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلك على ملاك الأمر الذي تصيب به خير الدنيا والآخرة؟ عليك بمجالس أهل الذكر، وإذا خلوت فحرك لسانك ما استطعت بذكر الله، وأحب في الله وأبغض لله. حضرت ابو رزین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا، کیا تم کو دین کی بنیادی چیز نہ بتاؤ جس سے تم دنیا و آخرت کی بھلائی حاصل کر لو؟ اللہ جل جلالہ کا ذکر کرنے والوں کی مجلسوں میں بیتا کرو، اور تنہائی میں بھی جتنا ہو سکے اللہ رب العزت کے ذکر میں اپنی زبان کو حرکت میں رکھو، محبت کرو اللہ تعالیٰ کے واسطے اور بغض رکھو اللہ تعالیٰ کے واسطے. ابو رزین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ narrates that نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said to him, should I not show you the leader of all actions through which you may attain the goodness of both worlds? Be regular in attending the dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, and when alone, keep your tongue engaged in the dhikr of Allah as much as possible. Love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah.